Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Doug hates candy wrappers, reading baby cigarettes. He's with 50 as a popcorn kernel in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see. But Doug loves movies.
Hey, everybody. My name is Doug, and I love movies. This is Doug Loves Movies, coming to you from the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater in Los Angeles, California, on Tuesday, January 3rd, Two Oceans 12.
Yeah!
It's so sad how excited we all are by that.
Thank you to everyone who came out to last week's taping at Flappers in Burbank. That was super fun. And yes, I agree, Pete Holmes and TJ Miller should be on a show together sometime, because then I won't have to say a word. Doug Loves Movies will be taped in Vegas this Sunday, January 8th, Two Oceans 12, at the Louis Anderson Theater in Palace Station Casino. It's over there on Sahara off the Strip. And I plan to celebrate Martin Luther King Jr. Day by doing shows all weekend at 4:20 every day at the Sacramento Punchline. Stand up Saturday, January 14th, with some Leonard Maltin game at the end, and the winner of which from the audience will be invited to come back and actually be a guest on Doug Loves Movies on Monday, January 16th at 4:20. What's happening January 15th, you ask? A Benson Interruption taping, I answer. So there's a special ticket price for all 3 days if you're that much of a psychopath. Since last I spoke, you listened. I saw The Artist, and my review in 8 words or less of The Artist: excellent execution, some boring parts, emotionally satisfying conclusion. I also saw Hugo, and my review in 8 words or less: fuck you, 3D. This has been 8 words or less. Since MI4GP, SHAGOS are still number one and number two, respectively, at the box office, there's no reason to do Watch This, Not That. You know where I stand. Now it's time for Tweet Relief. These are tweets about movies written by me or friends of mine. This particular one was written by past and future guest Dana Gould. He's Dana J. Gould on Twitter, and he tweeted yesterday, "I haven't seen Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close, but I assume it's a documentary about talking to drunk people." This has been Tweet Relief. You guys are the best. As promised, the third Tournament of Championships is starting tonight. The prize bag includes...
It's a heavy prize bag. Just hold that prize bag for a second. That's heavy, right? Holy shit. He confirms it. And you can't lie if you have a hat on with an A on it. In this bag are Weezer t-shirts, as always, WeezerCruise.com. There's also a Weezer CD called Hurley that's signed by the entire band. And Doug Benson, Professional Humoridian, my first CD, is in the bag. And we also have this. This is going to start. Two of these are going to give away who the guests are, and one of them is going to make you go, what? a nice hat, you know, winter, orange winter hat that says on it "Cookie Party," but don't be misled. And then this CD that you may know called Shakespeare, and a couple of seasons of Mad Men. Please welcome Paul F. Tompkins, Anthony Jeselnik, and John Hamm. Happy New Year! The first thing Paul F. Tompkins says to me is, "You happy now? It's finally a big crowd." And it's like, I complained like twice a few months ago.
But you were really complaining.
I was really upset. I like people sitting on the floor uncomfortably. And that's what's happening tonight. So I'm very, very, very excited. These three gentlemen, of course, have all qualified for the next round, this particular round of the Tournament of Championships. And please don't write to me on Twitter and say it's championships, not, you know what I mean? I just want to throw this out to all three of you, Anthony, John, Paul.
What a funny order of names.
People will laugh at anything at this point. Thanks for wearing the baggy shorts right there in the front row. I appreciate that, sir. Sir. I know it's like 75 degrees outside, but you don't have to be, you know, you don't have to be so excited about it. Let's go down the line. Anthony, have you seen Hugo? And if you did, was it in 3D?
I did not. Will never see Hugo.
Yeah! I like the way this is going. John Hamm, Hugo, 3D.
No and no.
Beautiful. Let's go 3 for 3. Paul F. Tompkins.
I have not seen Hugo, but I am open to the possibility that the universe will somehow lead me to see it in the future.
But regular style, not 3D.
Oh, I don't want to see it at all.
Okay.
I'm saying that there are forces beyond my control that may have me seeing Hugo in the future.
Well, here's what happened. It's called...
Doug, maybe by seeing Hugo in 3D will save the world.
I was thinking more like it might be your wife that wants to see it, but something's going to make you see it. And it's not going to be me, because I watched 30 minutes of it with these heavy fucking goggles on that they give you at the arc light that are uncomfortable from the second you put them on. I mean, I know I have a big fat head, but they're uncomfortable, and I'm sitting there watching it, and the movie, I've been told over and over again, it's about the magic of the movies. And I watched 30 minutes of it, and nobody mentions movies or anything to do with movies in that part of it. And to me, it's like, if you're going to make me wear 3D glasses, please keep it at around 90 minutes.
You know what? I picture you being so stoned, you're wearing 3 pairs of glasses.
I do have prescription lenses and sunglasses that I like to wear in the theater. So I will triple up as if I'm John Lennon on the Double Fantasy album cover.
Now, you put the sunglasses on for daytime scenes, right?
Yes.
You just hurriedly, like, oh, what a hassle it is.
When is somebody going to make glasses that adjust?
You need transition 3D lenses.
I need transition 3D lenses. Yeah. Somebody get on that. so that I could never wear them.
I wanted to say I've seen 3D movies many times, and I've never found the glasses that uncomfortable. They're really that every time because they're not the same.
They're sort of different every time.
Yeah.
So, but for some reason, the last two times I went, there were these glasses that like they're really heavy on the bridge of your nose, and they're also like. Almost like you're going to go to a party in them or something. Like they're like cool guy. Like they're like, it's like your vision is cut off on the top and the bottom. Like they're forcing you to watch a letterboxed movie in a motion picture theater.
Because they're too stylish.
The frames are too stylish. You did go to the arc light.
Yeah, the arc light.
So you were given the hipster 3D.
Yeah, because I made the mistake of going to the arc light. I should go to Howard Johnson's where they're made out of paper. That was rude. That's not fair to say about the ghetto.
Very rude. Oh. Also, did you say Howard Johnson or Magic Johnson?
Yeah.
I might have said Howard Johnson, where the glasses are made out of pancakes.
Now, Magic Johnson.
I'd like extra syrup, please.
Magic Johnson is the movie theater. Howard Johnson's is where Magic got AIDS.
Little known fact. Little known fact.
Don't shoot the messenger.
Would have been a lot cooler if he got AIDS in his own movie theater. Yeah. That guy would be working overtime.
It's cooler than AIDS.
Not cooler.
He could have gotten AIDS while watching the basketball
derby. More sophisticated. Yeah. Maybe more sophisticated.
Yeah, of course. Yes. No, that is the correct term.
Have you guys been to the movies lately? Start with Anthony.
I saw one I really liked called We Need to Talk About Kevin. I like that a lot.
You did?
No one saw that.
Yeah, it's Tilda great. Swinton is being
as
heavily.
Kevin.
She's she's a lot of awards organizations are giving her kudos.
Well deserved.
So, yeah, and you really liked it.
Yeah, I did.
All right,
cool. I mean, it's about a school shooting, so of course. But,
classic holiday fair.
Yeah. Well, it's called Anthony Getting Material. I'll go see that school shooting movie. What about you, J.H.?
I saw The Descendants.
Good one.
I liked it.
Yeah.
That I saw
girl.
It in 3D.
No way. It's like when George Clooney's running, those flip-flops are coming Amazing. Right at you.
Amazing.
That scene where they're at that beach, their beautiful beach, it looks
Gorgeous.
Like a beach.
Gorgeous.
Because that's what drove me crazy about Hugo. It was just like stuff that happens in regular movies. It wasn't like no one's sticking stuff out at you. So why bother? Other than I guess the depth thing.
Exciting. I think for animated films it works really well. The because it puts you in the world of this animated film. But for other things that I've seen 3D, I find it does not work as well.
Yeah, I mean, I respect Martin Scorsese, but, you know, children's movies. What?
Did he put his mom in this one?
Oh, she's passed on.
Is she no longer with us?
There's a scene where there's like a box that she might be in, yes. Yeah.
So the answer then is yes. Yeah.
Didn't she get killed?
Yeah, not such a dumb question, Paul.
Good to know.
What have you seen, Paul?
The other night I saw The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. And
I don't care about your personal relationships. What film?
It was also at a Howard Johnson's.
This is with Magic Johnson. This was my second attempt at seeing a movie version of The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. Because my wife and I tried to watch that Swedish version.
Could not handle it.
It was horrible. Like, yeah. Well,
it's a lot of reading.
We couldn't get past the first rape. And we were like, oh, this isn't, I read that book, but this isn't fun to see acted out at all. I know in Sweden they're very relaxed about sex stuff. So maybe it's my prudishness that I did not enjoy that hideous, brutal rape. So we turned it off, but I knew the Hollywood version would not be as brutal. And it wasn't, but still pretty brutal. But there
and
was
twice, right?
Yeah. There was a thing that that bothered me. Was Daniel Craig's character did this thing with his glasses. And this is a pet
that you would like to do for our podcast listeners.
But I will describe it, Doug. Come on. I'm not one of your dumb friends. Come
I
on,
know,
Doug.
I know. I know, you're a pro. You're one of my smart friends.
So I'm so delighted you confirmed it. So he does. Now, there's a pet peeve of mine forever is actors who clearly don't wear glasses. their character wears glasses, and you can tell because they're touching their fucking glasses all the time. You never see anybody in life constantly, like, just reassuring themselves that they have glasses on their face, like, constantly. Woody Allen, maybe, is the only person. So Daniel Craig did a thing that I've never seen in life, where to take his glasses off but still have them around, rather than push them up on his head, which I've seen people do, mm-hmm. he did this thing where he would hook them on one ear and have them hanging under his chin. You've never seen anyone do this in life.
I have seen.
It's weird.
I've seen someone do that, but all I thought the entire time was that is weird. Get a picture of it and we'll put it on the internet.
And it's like one time I'm like, okay, that's a thing that happened. Okay. Like 50 times he does it. It took me right out of all the rapes.
I cannot concentrate on this rape. What was going on with those glasses? I get bothered when there's a couple of famous bald dudes that always have glasses on their forehead. That, to me, is like, yeah. Can't you just get a bad tattoo?
Yeah.
That's a bad, I meant to say, instead of tattoo, I meant to say toupee. They're so close, you guys.
The girl with the dragon
tattoo. is a delightful... Mickey Rooney's in that, I think.
Scorsese's next animated project.
Yeah.
All right, shall we play a game?
Just got all war games in here.
It came around extra fast. You guys are great guests to talk to, especially Anthony, but we got to play. This is an important game. You're playing to 3 points. The winner is going to advance to the finals. You can feel the tension. This is actually, there's more on the line here than the GOP caucuses tonight.
Hey-o.
Those poor guys.
Yeah. No, because the winner of that never goes on to win. We may have a future winner on our hands.
Just keep going, Dennis Miller.
Doug, you had that coming.
Oh, fuck you.
I did. Dennis Miller is very against the GOP. You have a good point. No, he isn't. Okay. No, he's not. He's got a lot of money. Are you, now that you're so successful, John Hamm, are you going to switch?
Oh, I thought it was going to be
political. Because I think that's the only reason, like a Charlton Heston, rest in peace, or a Kelsey Grammer, also rest in peace. Where they will switch over political allegiances because they come so rich, yeah, that really what they're mostly concerned about is keeping their money and no one murdering them. And that makes you vote. Okay, we got off track. We're here to play this game. We don't care about politics tonight. Let's forget about it tonight. Just take your hat off for one night. He likes the sports team. All right.
Go my favorite sports team. Brian Regan, remember?
Is that one of his bits?
Yes.
He's so funny. Is he, he's still with us?
He's still with us.
Okay, good.
Let's bring him out.
Here he comes.
Let's bring him out right here. You too, the next time you fly somewhere. All right. We get to start with Anthony, then we'll go to John, then we'll go to Paul F. Tompkins. Anthony gets to pick a category. Anthony, would you like... the number one movie, this is suggested by King of Pancakes. The number one movie. Oh, yeah, good call. Thank you, Jordan. Jordan was on top of that. I was so anxious to get into the tournament that we didn't pick name tags. Everybody. Everybody pick a name tag. Well done, Jordan. Don't pick Jordan, though. He doesn't even try.
Oh, I gotta take the.
Yeah, you gotta take the ambulance bill. That's a good. That's a great name tag.
Are you cool if I read your address?
John Hamm doesn't seem to have fallen for John the Waterfront, which is a clever tag that you have. So what do you have there, Anthony?
Mine says, if you pick Aviv, is Aviv how you pronounce that? If you pick Aviv, he will smoke marijuana for the first time. Also, here's an Arby's gift card.
Wow. Wow.
Aviv put a lot on the line. I think how that's going to bode well for future guests on the show.
How much is the how much
you guys
gift, card
gift
for?
Cards will get selected probably.
Your mom gave it to you, so you don't know how much is on this?
I think it's $10.
You could have just given me $1 million in cholesterol.
$10 at Arby's is $1 million at Arby's. You can't eat $10 worth or $1 million worth. Either way, you're fucked.
I might own a franchise.
Bring a friend. Great name tag, Aviv. Let's go to John Hamm. Who'd you pick?
I picked David Cahill's pot license.
You brought your pot license?
And I also have his home address, his Social Security number,
what's
and his driver's license number.
Yeah.
No, it's not on here.
Thank God you have a photographic memory.
No, but his driver's license is B832.
What could somebody do with that? Vote? All right, Paul F. Tompkins has got...
I'm playing for Mark.
Mark,
who his name tag is an ambulance bill. I like all these name tags have a story.
Yeah, it's a great way to start the new year.
It looked like it's still in the envelope. He started to open it and then said, you know what? Wait. What am I rushing for?
I'm going to Doug Loves Movies.
What, am I an ambulance?
I don't need the ambulance anymore.
Exactly.
I ain't getting any weller.
His guests seem like very nice people who might choose me to not win any money that would help me to pay this bill. But maybe you could go to a pawn shop and get rid of some of this stuff. Yeah.
A pawn shop?
Yeah. In pawn shops, Jeselnik's Shakespeare goes for $3.50. Don't ask me how I know. He gave me a copy. It was very nice of him, but, you know, it's time
That's
to
That's $350.
Oh! Boom!
Yeah, you heard me.
What a horribly overpriced CD. All right, here we go. We'll start with you, Anthony. Thank you, Jordan, for reminding me to pick contestants. It's a crucial part of the show. At King of Pancakes suggested the number one movie 10 years ago to this very day. So number one movie 10 years ago. Of course, we've heard about it ad nauseum, but it's still, I'm going to plug it until the day I go. I'm going on the Weezer cruise. And so films with Weezer on the soundtrack, no one ever picks this category.
And no one ever will.
No, because who remembers which soundtracks had Weezer? I'll tell you one. I'll tell you one of them. Shrek Forever After had a Weezer song. And then your third option, Anthony, is movies with four letters in the title. An example, of course, being Milk. Which one of those categories
would you like to
play? Are you
clapping for the example? Okay.
It was from a previous show. I pick one from a previous show, and I keep recycling that category.
I'm gonna go number one from 10 years ago.
All right. This movie was number one at the box office.
The boxist.
Boxist office.
Was it the boxist?
10 years ago to this very day. 3 stars from Leonard. He calls this movie sprawling. He also describes his own way of sitting in a theater as sprawling. And he also says about this movie that it was followed by a sequel. It's from 2001, 3 stars, and you get...
Wouldn't it be 2002?
What? It's Two Oceans 12! What the fuck is wrong with me? All right, this movie is from 11 years ago today. Category change. I did the research a few days ago.
So is it, it's from January 2001?
Was the number one movie.
Okay.
January 2001.
Don't act like
how
you're
dare
clear
you
enough.
Question me.
Yeah, you're clear
I said
for
good
me.
Day, sir. That's why everyone is here, to correct me. 2001, this movie was the number one movie on January 3rd. I'm pretty sure it might have been March 18th. 3 stars. Leonard calls it sprawling. He says it's followed by a sequel. And there are 14 names. How many names do you think you can get in, Anthony Jeselnik? We're playing to 3 points.
I'm going to guess I could do it in 9 names.
Good opening bid. Go to John Hamm.
5.
Whoa. You are a mad man.
Don't laugh at that. Don't even clap. Don't do anything but groan like it's the Republican caucus.
Number one, January 2001.
Mm-hmm.
Sprawling.
Mm-hmm.
Sequel. That's it, right?
That's all you get.
Mr. Hamm said 5 names.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say, John, name that movie.
Oh. Here we go.
Well, shit.
Give
me 5 names.
I would venture to guess you're going to get this. Sorry. Sorry, Paul.
Disappointing.
But I will also say, to help you, Paul, we do need an exact title. Your names are Ian Holm, Sean Bean, Hugo Weaving, Christopher Lee, Orlando Bloom. Exact title, please.
The Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Ring.
That is correct!
There's no need for that.
All right, John.
You gonna be a Sam Levine about it?
Please, no Sam Levines tonight. This is all for fun. All right, so Paul challenged John, so we start with Anthony again, and then go to Paul. And Anthony gets to pick from Too Long for Lynn. That's movies that Leonard Maltin thinks are too long. He feels that way about most of them. Another very specific category, Rocky movies. That's movies with the word Rocky in the title. I think there's about 7. And then at Kubrick97 suggested Ride the Movies, which is films based on an amusement park ride. Which one would you like?
Aren't there like one of those?
I think I've counted up at least 4. Yeah. Uh-huh. Says Smarty Pants in row 3.
I'm gonna go Rocky.
Nice. This movie with Rocky in the title is from 1979. Leonard Maltin gives it 3 stars. He says about this movie, officially a sequel. This slightly silly film is more of a rehash, but the climactic bout hits home. That's the whole review. He summed this movie up in about 14 words. And he lists 5 names. How many names do you think you can get it in, Anthony Jeselnik?
I think I can name this movie in -3 names.
Oh, shit! I knew it would be on. Now we go to Paul F. Tompkins. Because the order switches every time. John looked at me like, what? For the listeners, you guys know he did it.
I think I can name that movie in -4 names.
Oh!
It's
coming around to you. So you can either say name it or you can go negative all 5 names.
Do the names have to go bottom to top?
No, top, bottom, but in the right order.
Oh, in the right order?
Yeah, top billing to the bottom billing. So you'd have to be able to name all 5 people that are listed in the proper order that they were billed, according to Leonard Maltin, who fucking changes shit sometimes. So it's anybody's guess.
So it's not according to the movie. It is according to Leonard Maltin.
Leonard Maltin, who usually gets it from the movie, but every once in a while.
Yeah, I know.
You've been bitten by it.
I have.
What do you think, John?
I'm only coming up with 4, so Paul named that movie.
Paul named that movie.
All right, let's see what happens together as a family.
What's the film called?
I'm going to say that film is called Rocky 2.
Good guess, and correct as well.
I'm going to say your first actor in that film is Sylvester Stallone.
You have to name all 4. I can't help you. But you know what?
Oh,
I'm
going to
give you that one.
Thank you.
But I'm not going to tell you as soon as you're wrong. Just lay out all four, and
now
then I'll
this
say.
Is where it gets tricky.
Yes. Yes, it do.
Hold on, let me pose for this picture. Guy denied me.
He wants a natural shot. He doesn't want you posing.
Is actor number two?
And I'm not gonna say until you get through all four.
Sylvester Stallone, Talia Shire, Burgess Meredith, Burt Young. What?
Sylvester Stallone, Talia Shire, Burt Young, Carl Weathers. Then Burgess fucking Meredith. Can you believe
what? That's bullshit. Everybody acting like they were shocked that I gave that order.
John Hamm has 2 points, everybody.
I don't like this. I know he was in the movie. But here's the thing. I'm trying to second guess fucking Leonard Maltin. I'm not saying what actually happened. It's like this crazy old goon.
name calling is going to get you nowhere, Paul. I'm just ashamed.
It does make me feel good.
Fair enough.
Leonard loves the podcast, by the way. He listens every week.
Leonard, you're a crazy old goon. Stop rearranging the order of the credits. Len.
Let's bring him out.
It's like an episode of Maury.
Len Walton is not the father. All right, well, that's, you know, I don't know if that's the real billing or not, but that's how Leonard listed it. So, sorry, Paul.
I accept your apology.
All right, so Anthony is staying out of the fray every time, so we'll start with him again, but this time we'll go to John. And you get to pick a category, Anthony.
Are the contestants allowed to be on their phones during the game?
As long as they're trying to cheat, that's the only reason to be on your phone.
Are you still on MySpace?
Are you? He just, when John gets off camera, he loves to get on his phone because he's not allowed to use it in scenes of on the show. All right.
Wait, so am I picking the category and then he goes first? Is that what we're doing?
You pick the category and you go first, okay. And then it goes
okay.
to John.
Gotcha.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We won't skip you, Anthony. Would you like... IFC recently listed the most underrated comedies of all time, so this would be an underrated comedy, according to IFC. This is a category that no one ever picks, and no one ever will, called Beta Carotene. That's films that feature someone in the Carotene acting dynasty... David, John, Martha Plimpton. Keith would be another one. No extra points for knowing that. And then Conan the Barber suggested I Love Movies, which is movies that have an exclamation point in the title. What would you like? Underrated comedies, Beta Carotene, or I Love Movies?
Give me the exclamation point, please.
Exclamation point in the title. This film is from 1980. 3 stars from Leonard. He calls it very funny. And he says, stay tuned through the final credits. I don't know why he says that. Because I don't know what staying tuned has to do with remaining in your seat. Don't turn off your ham radio. John. And there are 9 names listed.
I'm going to go for 0 names.
Whoa! Anthony goes 0 names, so we come to John. You can either tell him a name it or go negative names.
Now, I'm still confused on if I go -1, do I have to get the first person?
Yeah, top build.
I'll go -1.
Oh, Paul F. Tompkins. These are
1980,
fierce competitors.
1980, exclamation point in the title.
Mm-hmm.
And what? Stay tuned, of course, to the credits.
Mm-hmm.
But what was the other thing?
That it very funny.
Very funny.
That's it, just very funny?
Yeah. According to Leonard Maltin.
TBS, the movie.
exclamation point. You've been burned before.
It's true. John, name that movie.
Whoa. You've been burned both ways, you know.
I just told you to name the fucking movie. I didn't tell you to give me history of my burns.
By having me name.
So you have to tell me the name of the
I've
movie.
Been burned every which way, John.
Is this something you want to talk about?
With Leonard Maltin, yes.
Well, let's bring him out.
Your anger at Leonard's really, you know, I don't know what it's
the father he never had.
It's what drives me, Doug. It's what drives my whole life.
All right.
Okay, Doug.
So you have to name the movie and the top billed performer.
I think the movie is Airplane with an exclamation point.
Maybe.
And I think the top billed person would be Robert Hayes.
You are correct on both counts. It's a John Hamm shutout. Three in a row for John Hamm. I can't believe this. Doesn't get more impressive than that.
This is bullshit. Let me tell you something, John Hamm. In 40 years, you'll be a fucking has-been.
You're right, Anthony.
Yeah, I am right.
I look forward to the ensuing 40 years of awesomeness, however. And I wonder...
Take what you can get, man.
What are you clapping for? That was the point of the fucking joke. He doesn't get points for my joke.
I hereby cede all my points to Anthony.
Paul, what's going on? You're just checking your phone?
Yeah. Just going to see what's up on Twitter and stuff.
Leonard hit you back?
No, I haven't heard back from Len.
Let's see what IMDb, how they list it.
That's what I was looking up, and by the way, they agree with you.
And Leonard. Yeah.
So, Paul, see, you've been burned real billing. A third time.
That was a real billing, Paul. You just don't feel bad. You forgot Carl Weathers. Who doesn't forget Carl Weathers?
I didn't forget Carl Weathers. Here's when I remembered that Burgess Meredith was a fucking Hollywood legend. I'm sorry, I forgot. I didn't give proper respect to the star of Action Jackson. Burgess fucking Meredith.
The Penguin and that Twilight Zone where his glasses broke. I tried to continue to defend your point, but nobody cares. Well done. You'll be back someday.
Just not
when somebody puts a magic top hat on my head.
I forgot. Happy birthday. Plugs, Anthony Jeselnik? Anything to plug?
When does this come out? I always ask that.
Friday.
I'll be at the Tempe Improv tonight and tomorrow.
The Temprov.
Temprov, yes. Yes.
Okay, so it'll be too late for that. Tonight and tomorrow.
No, I mean,
you mean Friday night.
Yeah, Friday and Saturday. God damn it, Doug. Hey, see you guys there later on tonight.
Don't go see it. He's not at the Tempe Improv.
I chartered
a plane.
Don't go
see him at the Tempe Improv on Friday or Saturday. Well, that sounds like a lot of fun. That's a fun place, Tempe. John Hamm, you are in the third finals of the Tournament of Championships, and you are a possible competitor in the Super Tournament of Championships.
Who cares?
Where you will be competing. You'll be taking on, if you get there, Matt Bronger and Sam the Man Levine. Lil Wolverine.
At least I was spared that.
At least you're spared not having to go up against him again. And hopefully you can do it. You have a very busy schedule, so we'll see. Is there anything... new season of Mad Men starts when?
March 25th.
Nice. And... is the goal of the show to eventually catch up to now? Like, to eventually... take place now?
Yeah. And then go into the future, right?
Yeah. We're not hiding anything. That's exactly what the goal is.
I like it. Stay on the air. Make it happen. And any films in the can, John Hamm?
Friends with Kids, starring a friend of the show, Adam Scott,
mm-hmm.
Will be released on March 9th. And that's about the size of it. That's it. Paul, you're checking your schedule.
I am.
Yeah, what do you got coming up, Paul?
I want to be prepared.
Tell us about some stuff.
I just can't put this down. This is a Friday. If you're listening to this on Friday and you live in, if you're in the Los Angeles area, come see me and Chris Tallman on the Dead Authors show right here at UCB, which is to benefit 826 LA. He will be playing the role of, that's right, he'll be playing Arthur Conan Doyle to my H.G. Wells. It's funny already, you guys.
People already love it. The reviews are in.
I'm doing a bunch
of
shows.
It was future-tastic.
I'm doing a bunch of shows at Sketchfest in San Francisco, but I'm very excited to do the Vancouver Comedy Festival in February.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing participating in a live version of the Super Ego podcast.
Super Ego.
So Vancouver listeners, there's still tickets available, but they are going fast. So get some tickets for that shit. And also.
Well prepared for your plugs.
This is very rare. I'll be doing an hour of stand-up right here in Los Angeles at Largo with the Coronet on Saturday, February 11th. Thank you, John.
Yeah, slow clap it.
That does not happen often, but it's my new hour of material that I'll be taking out on tour in May.
Nice.
It's pretty nice. And Doug,
it's very nice. Yes,
you're
sir.
Nice to ask everybody if they have plugs.
Well, you know, it's a thing that
thanks, Doug.
You deserve.
I don't think people thank you enough.
Well, thank you for thanking me.
I think they just have, though.
We've reached it.
Yes, we've finally, yeah.
Good, finally, for the year.
Yeah, one.
Just
okay.
One.
We could go back to normal now. I need to get the, I need, what? What are you yelling at me?
Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Oh, thank you to it's everybody catching. That comes to the show, that listens to the show, that enjoys it. I especially like them, the people who enjoy it. Anthony was playing for Aviv.
Aviv, yes.
Yeah, so Aviv needs to come over and pick a shithead for me to name after, if you don't mind walking over here and telling me, unless it's on the back of your... Is it on the back of that thing? Yeah, come over. And Mark, you didn't put it on the back of your thing. So just come over. Here, just write down the name of a shithead anywhere you want on that piece of paper. And also, since we do have a couple extra minutes, John Hamm shut it down so fast, we were ending early. And the first time in the history of the show.
Aviv, good luck smoking pot tonight.
No judgment. Oh, that's a good one. Those are both good ones. Kind of abstract. Let's go through really quickly. And Anthony, do you have, what was your, if you can name one, because I know sometimes it's hard to do, but what was your favorite movie of last year?
God, did MacGruber come out last year? Was that the year before? That's
I think that was the year before.
I would have to say, off the top of my head, 13 Assassins was fucking awesome.
That's a good one. Check it out, you guys. John Hamm?
I enjoyed the Moneyball.
Yeah, Moneyball. I like that a great deal. Paul F. Tompkins?
Moneyball probably my number one. Number two, I'd say Attack the Block.
Nice.
I won!
Did you guys see 50-50?
Yes.
It's good.
I just saw it the other night.
It's very good. Yeah,
didn't count it because I didn't see it in 2011.
Right, but also just underappreciated. Underappreciated,
it is underappreciated.
I was kind of on the fence about it.
Yeah?
Wow. That divided the crowd.
I can't believe I just lost to that fucking guy.
I only watched half of it, but the point is... I saw the fun half before cancer. So check it out. Check it out and watch all of it. It's good. My plugs are WeezerCruise.com, SFSketchFest.com, and VancouverComedyFest.com. And thanks again. Great competitors. Anthony Jeselnik, John Hamm, and Paul F. Tompkins. We still have... According to my watch, we still have 3 minutes. According to the UCB clock, we have 1 minute. So anything you want to throw in right now, just toss it in there, you guys. Just anything you want to say.
White power.
What? John Hamm? Why did John Hamm yell white power? You could have said anything.
I don't know, but we're out
That's
of time.
So
we're out of time.
Weird.
We're out of time. Sorry, guys. As always... Marijuana is a shithead, and 2011 is a shithead.